dominant in Islamic environments. There are some sessions and assemblies of lectures that scholars go and actually give lectures, and it's good. Again, people from the other side are meeting each other and visiting each mm-hmm. other in masajid, in masjids, in mosques, and also in different Islamic centers. So from the other side, also the social aspect of it is really interesting and beautiful, because even it leaves something very beautiful in the minds of our kids and our children, that, okay, how beautiful is it that we are waiting for those days or for that month to come very soon. Even yeah. ourselves. So
let's start, you know, because this is a very great point, socializing, and we're going to approach Nowruz. Nowruz is coming, and it's a great time to socialize and to communicate, to sit together. I would like to ask dear Mr. Rouhani, you know, any ideas how to, you know, I want you to explain to us. You know, this revival, this Nowruz, is a time to renew ourselves. The world is we have a spring, everything is life again, and it's also Ramadan. You know, it's a time to live again, to start a life. It's, you know, let's talk about this revival and also the Ramadan, this 2 month. You know, how to use it as a time to revival, and let's talk about it and shed some lights on it.
Yes, of course. Nowruz is a kind of revival of nature as well, because nature in this season, the beginning of spring, revives itself. So that's why it is. It has been celebrated by the ancient, let's say, people from the ancient time in Persia, till nowadays. Since this Nowruz in this year will come together with the month of the holy month of Ramadan, it's a very nice coincidence, we can say that, because the month of holy Ramadan is the month of mercy, month of rahmah, month of forgiveness, and in this holy month we have Laylatul Qadr, in which the predestination of the coming affairs of the year, of the coming years of affairs, will be predestined by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why it's a very golden opportunity for the people to ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to predestine about the affairs of their new year in a way that they will be forgiven, blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be showered, will be bestowed upon them in the new year. So this coming together, Nowruz, with the holy month of Ramadan, I think it's a very good opportunity for the people, because holy month of Ramadan is it's itself is a spring. It is called Rabi'ul Quran, or Rabi'ul Islam is the holy month of Ramadan. And at the same time, we have Rabi' of nature, or yeah. the spring that we celebrate in Persian, let's say, cultural in societies. So that's why it's really nice, it's really beautiful that we have two springs together. One is the let's say, spiritual spring, or Rabi' al-Quran, which is the holy month of Ramadan, and the other one is the spring of the nature. They come together in this year. That's very nice, that's very beautiful, because we have two Bahars, or two, let's say, springs together. No. And then we will enjoy more.
Of course.
Because you have two things, two kind of, let's say, springs. Double springs is there. So that's why I think it's a very good opportunity for us to both revive naturally ourselves, or materially ourselves, and at the same time spiritually. So this is the highest level of kind of enjoyment and pleasure that one can enjoy.
Yeah, and it's a very good setting for people to talk about these issues and ideas in the families, in a formal setting, or sometimes in an informal setting, about this revival, this renewing ourselves and our lives, and how. And I think it's we have the same experience across the world. Yeah, I mean, in different. People in different countries are experiencing the same thing, and it's a great time for the world to come together, and the Muslims in the world to come together and celebrate this revival, and this is a renew It can be a time to renew the world itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
of course. And yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. So I want you to talk a little about the effects. I mean, specifically of this month on tolerance, mm-hmm. and resistance. This effects of this fasting on our level of accepting, level of tolerance, level of dealing with difficulties.
Yeah. We have in Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasta'inu bis-sabr was-salat. Sabr, patience, and salat is prayers. This sabr or patience has been interpreted and translated as sawm itself, that is fasting. So it has this patience inside it because you are hungry and you are thirsty, but you stay till the time that it is its own time, that is the time of iftar, so that you eat something. So actually you are experiencing your patience. I mean, you are learning how to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
From two aspects. From the personal aspect, yeah, it actually increases the patience of a person, and it is quite natural, and it is the minimum outcome of fasting, that it increases the patience of a person. And even its the translation of this sabr also has been, as I said, in Quran or Quranic exegesis, Quranic commentaries, has been translated and interpreted as sabr.
Mm.
So from the societal aspect of it also, it increases the patience of the society as well. Look, a society who collectively are actually fasting in an Islamic society. So there must be a difference between this society and the society that have no experience of fasting. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, in case of a war or battle,
mm-hmm.
definitely these people who have accustomed to this period of 1 month of, for example, tolerating hardship of not eating and drinking in the whole daytime. So they might be different with those who have not yet experienced such a thing,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So it increases the patience of the society in both levels, in a personal and in a societal level.
Yeah. The reason I propose this idea is that because in order to... We talked about communication in this world, and we need communication, we need sitting together, socializing, and patience is a very critical factor here.
Yeah.
And that's why I want you to shed some lights on it, because when the first step to communicate is to accept and to tolerate others, different ideas, different so it has an effect on it.
Definitely.
Very short. Let's talk about it on the next generation, and let's talk about the effects of it on our next generation. How to apply it in our lives, in our with our children, and very short. I want you to just...
You mean patience on the next generation?
No. I mean, how to exercise it in our family, how to use it, mm-hmm. I mean, in our everyday lives.
Look, whatever we do, actually our kids and children are actually learning and imitating whatever we are doing.
Exactly.
If it is a good action, they will learn, I mean, how to actually promote and repeat a good action. When they see, I mean, the beauties of the holy month of Ramadan due to these socializing events and assemblies that we have in this month, they really like it and enjoy it. I mean... any child that you meet, if you tell him that, do you like to be fasting? Definitely the answer would be yes. Because even if they try to, for example, to fast for certain hours, let's say for a couple of hours, in 1 or 2 or 3 hours. But this is interesting for them because they want just to liken themselves with their parents and with those elderly that have been trying to fast.
So I got my answer. But they don't copy. It's not just simple copying.
In the first level, it's sort of imitating and copying. But later on, they will learn about the philosophy and about its functionality. And then it will be institutionalized in the kid. And we have been ordered yet. Even we have from the instructions from Ahlul Bayt, they tell us, first, just let them do the action. I mean, without even having any knowledge about the philosophy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, I mean, slowly, they will learn about it. I mean, they will, when it has been institutionalized in them, they will learn about the philosophy and
they talk about it, they start to feel about it. Very well said. So, any thoughts from Dr. Rahani? Just 1 minute, I want you to wrap up.
Yeah, just of course there are some recommendations in this holy month, because this holy month is the month of forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good opportunity to, first of all, try not to commit sin, or at least in this holy month, let's practice.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be able to continue, inshallah, this kind of lifestyle in the rest of the months. The next point is that in this holy month, we try to ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Because no one is for sure that the next holy month of Ramadan, he will be alive why we must be always ready for departing this world, particularly in this holy month. I think it's a very great opportunity for the audience to ask forgiveness from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be forgiven, inshallah ta'ala, in this holy month, and to be purified, inshallah, particularly spiritually, inshallah, in this holy month.
Well, point. Very good. Yeah, this is these times of the year are the last chances. Ramadan is a month to recover, to return to Allah. This month is very special, not only to believers, but also to those of us who look for an excuse to come back and return. It's a very special feast, a shortcut to gain, and with gain there can't be no pain. This pain can be the sweetest one, mixed with love toward the mighty Allah. This wraps up today's episode. May the mighty Allah bless you all.
يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها
On behalf of myself and all of my colleagues here at Arabi English Radio, we wish you a wonderful Nowruz, full of happiness and prosperity.
Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the sixth day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. Today, we will speak about the customs of Nowruz of the people living in Khorasan. Khorasan is the name of a region straddling through the vast area of northeastern Iran. It used to be a single province called Khorasan, but a few decades ago, it was divided into three provinces, namely North Khorasan, Khorasan Razavi, and South Khorasan. However, the people of all three provinces maintain similar customs and traditions, especially those of Khorasan Razavi and South Khorasan. Stay tuned, please. Khorasan literally means the land of sun and the place where the sun rises from. The land of Greater Khorasan once included areas in Iran, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and even beyond. Thus, there are traces of all these languages and dialects in today's Khorasan in Iran. Some of these languages and dialects are vernacular, while others are spoken by migrants who have emigrated from other regions in the past centuries and decades. As you know, one of the most important symbols of Nowruz in Iran is Haftsin tablecloth. This tablecloth is composed of different items and edibles, which make it colorful and beautiful. However, the edibles of this tablecloth are prepared in different regions according to the taste of the women of those regions. One of the famous items in Haftsin tablecloth is samanu. As you have already heard, samanu is a kind of pudding made from fresh wheat sprouts. Women in Khorasan put pots in the yard or on the roof 40 to 50 days before Nowruz to be filled with rain water. Then they pour some wheat in a white and fine cloth and put it in the rain water to shoot. The wheat shoots and the fresh sprouts are then smashed and mixed with common flour. A few days before Nowruz, the mixture is blended with things like date syrup, rose water, and almond. After that, big copper pots are put on fire to cook samanu. It takes long hours to cook, during which several people keep stirring the pots so that samanu is cooked slowly and not burned. In the end, women take a part of samanu for Haftsin tablecloth and distribute the rest among the neighbors and relatives. People of Khorasan, like people in other regions of Iran, have nice traditions. One of these traditions is called Shah Molai, which is held a few days before the arrival of Nowruz. The trustworthy people in every neighborhood go to those who are wealthy and generous, asking them for catering to the needs of the poor and needy. Another custom among the people of Khorasan in Nowruz is called Hanabandan. People of the region, especially women, dye their hair and hands with henna to welcome Nowruz. They believe that henna causes high spirit and exuberance. However, the most outstanding custom in Khorasan is to visit the holy mausoleum of Imam Reza, peace upon him, the 18th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, in the city of Mashhad. As a matter of fact, anyone who can try to reach the holy city of Mashhad for pilgrimage of Imam Reza, in a bid to start the year with blessing. The people of Mashhad have another custom after pilgrimage of Imam Reza. They buy some fresh vegetables and bread and then return home believing that this will bless the house and the family. Another interesting custom in Khorasan is to prepare a special kind of ash or broth called jushware. To prepare this food, women spread wheat dough and form it into sheets. Then they fill the sheets with chopped onion, cooked lentils, and peas and spices. Some others add meat and walnuts too. Then the sheets are folded as triangles and pressed so that they do not open. At this phase, the triangles are put in boiling water to cook. After the broth boils, some whey powder is added. This food is eaten on the first day of Nowruz in family gatherings. Another custom that is common in villages is to bake a lot of bread a few days before the arrival of Nowruz. They believe that every house should be full of bread so that blessing is bestowed upon them in the coming year. The housewives believe that during Nowruz they should not buy bread from outside. People of Khorasan, like all other Iranians, pay visits to the elderly on the first day of Nowruz. The elderly and the youths pray for each other and congratulate Nowruz. Then they eat sweets, pastries, fruits, and other edibles on half-seen tablecloth. In some parts of Khorasan, it is still customary that grandparents and parents take a plate with sweets, roasted wheat, roasted chickpeas, raisin, painted egg, and coin, and give them to young ones and children. Among the customs of Khorasan province, mention can be made of Bibi Gardi, which is common mostly in Qainat region of South Khorasan. It is held according to an old story. On the 12th of Farvardin, the first month of the Iranian calendar year, old women who are called Bibi, are taken outside the village. A Bibi takes some clay and covers it with mud. Women and girls make a candle with a stick and cotton as its wick. Then they burn it on the clay. Bibi holds the candle on her head and women and girls leave the village behind her while rejoicing. Then they gather around the qanat or well and throw the clay in the well, believing that their sorrows would end with it to start a happy year. Dear listeners, next time we will go to south of Iran for Nowruz customs.
Welcome to Israel Watch. On this episode, we will monitor the Doha negotiations move to conclude a captives exchange deal while they're opposing ideas in the regime regarding this issue. We will also go over Netanyahu's criticism of the West's position after the German Chancellor's visit to Tel Aviv and the refusal of the tribes in Gaza to the United Nations' request to distribute aid. We'll also touch upon the internal Zionist disputes. Regarding these topics, I welcome Professor Hadi Kobayesi, Director of the Al-Ittihad Research and Development Center. My warm welcome, dear Professor. The United States is more enthusiastic about the truce and the captives exchange deal because it will also withdraw on the Yemeni front, which is what Biden needs in the heat of the presidential elections he is running. Professor Hadi Kubayesi, what do you think of the articles of the negotiations in Doha, Qatar, and what the Hebrew media mentioned about the American goals of this truce and the exchange deal? That is, calm on the Gaza and Yemen fronts, as Biden needs it in the upcoming presidential elections.
We prefer to deal with American and Israeli statements with great caution, based on the experience of the past 5 months. It is clear that there is great manipulation in the distribution of roles, and there are varying and contradictory statements from official spokesmen and media professionals. I mean, a few days ago, there was talk about the Security Council session. The American presented a paper for an immediate and permanent ceasefire. The session took place a few days ago. What happened to the discussion? The discussion was limited only to Yemen and the condemnation of what Yemen is doing. Yesterday, there was a call between Biden and Netanyahu. Netanyahu said that in the call, I talked about the continuation of the war, entering Rafah, achieving goals, and eliminating Hamas. There was no American statement explaining what happened in this call. Yes, we have a distribution of roles between two parties, and we must be careful in evaluating each movement. We are approaching the elections in the U.S., and therefore the Americans need an image, calm, but at the same time, the American image must have two components, an Israeli victory and an image of some peace, normalization, humanitarian aid, and truce. Biden cannot have the absence of unity in these two forms because he needs AIPAC, he needs the support of the Israeli lobby, and he needs the votes of Muslims. And he's trying to get this needle out of this haystack. He's trying to support the Israelis to an extent, and at the same time, humanitarian aids. If we notice this last month, for example, under the roof of this slogan, under the policy that the U.S. follows, with all the aid that intervened, Israel committed massacres, about 50 massacres, and the Americans didn't talk about it. Biden did not comment. He did not comment. I mean, he sends aid by air or by sea while there are daily massacres, but he does not have a permit, and therefore there is such a coordination between him and the Israelis. It means he sends aid, but the Israelis prevent them. Biden would say, I did what I had to do for my American voters, but I did not do anything that would embarrass the Israelis in front of the Jewish voters or in front of the Israeli lobby.
Let us turn to Smotrich, who strongly opposes any captives exchange deal with Hamas and sees this as a threat to the captives. The attack on Rafah will be scheduled after knowing the outcome of the negotiations in Doha, and as soon as the occupation army begins transporting the displaced Palestinians from there, the enemy will begin the opposite of this attack. Professor Hadi Kobayesi, Israel links the attack on Rafah to the fate of the Doha negotiations and Smotrich's position of basically refusing to negotiate with Hamas.
Smotrich and Ben-Gavir do not have a change in position or a political process in thinking. One position from the first road to the last road, regardless of the results, the effects, the repercussions of relations with the Americans, and the situation on the ground.
Even Ben-Gavir called for the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh instead of going to the Doha negotiations.
The movement is disconnected from political reality. It has goals that it sets, and by following them, it comes to the results and the possibility of achieving the goals, their outcomes, and their repercussions. What about Rafah? But this movement is being used by Netanyahu to say that I have a movement that I don't know what I want to do with it, and I have to sponsor it in front of the Americans, in front of the liberals, Gantz and others, and also in front of the Palestinian negotiator, because they use this scarecrow. As for Rafah, we will see the negotiations, and I believe that according to the scenario I mentioned at the beginning, the war is continuing. And when Biden spoke, when he attacked Netanyahu with the same speech, he said two things. We will not stop the weapons, and we will not stop the war. We will not stop supplying weapons to Israel, and we will not accept stopping the war. These are frank words from him. I think this scenario is the one that works.
Let us move on to the visit of the German Chancellor to Tel Aviv, which was less sympathetic to the regime than his first visit, as he affirmed his rejection of military action in Rafah, which would lead to the starvation of the people of Gaza. After the visit of the German Chancellor and his stances, Netanyahu began to harshly criticize Western leaders because of their positions that are against starving the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
Netanyahu's statements were the subject of interaction on Israeli social media sites, and these are some of the comments.
Nedav Monk.
That is, they all say that security is stable.
Uri.
Netanyahu has been removed from our lives. You have destroyed everything. There is no security in the streets.
Ina.
The people here are also pushing for elections. The polls speak for themselves.
Dana.
Is there anything that Netanyahu did not succeed in destroying? Now also the relations with the United States? Enough has exhausted us. Leave.
Ilana.
You continue the war and do not return the kidnapped people in order to remain in power.
Fernanda.
They all want you to leave. Enough. You have destroyed Israel. You have brought the greatest disaster on it. Leave.
So, Professor Hadi Kubaisi, how do you explain this sharp criticism by Netanyahu of Western leaders after the positions of the German Chancellor, which were less sympathetic to the regime than his first visit, as the Hebrew media noted?
In the West, it works on several layers and several levels. One of the levels of work and courses of action is to prepare and invest in the results of the war. It comes as a savior, as an assistant, as a mediator, as a manager of a peace process and a negotiation process, and to avoid all the negative effects of the war that have been a repercussion. Demonstrations in the West, security crises, expected future crises, political differences even within parties. The West, for example, France and Germany, is one of these players who was initially supportive and sent arms to Israel. They all arm Israel from behind the curtains. But on the surface, they say, we hear the people of Gaza starving, we're helping them. So that the Palestinians took to the West as a party that has credibility and legitimacy and has pure, good, positive and humanitarian intentions and therefore preferable to Gaza. This is according to Western thought. They say that the Palestinians sees that we come to Gaza, carry out a peace process, carry out a security movement, communicate with the tribes, communicate with the notables, and carry out political and field intervention within the Gaza Strip, so that we can achieve the goals of the war that Israel started, which is to change and modify the social and political situation inside the Gaza Strip. This path is progressing, even if the war will not end, but they have begun to prepare the image, language, discourse, positioning, and behavior to play this role inside Palestine.
In short, why does Netanyahu criticize them in this way?
It was a response to the American talk of the elections. The Americans have a collection of interests. It has a personal conflict, meaning there are personal interests between Netanyahu and Biden. Biden wants to go to the second term of presidency, and Netanyahu wants to remain in power. The problem is personal. Under the general policies of the two countries, the course of the war was underway and the whole world was happy. The basis is that we achieve the goals, eliminate the extremists, go to peace, and establish normalization. The Americans emerge as a peacemaker and thus love the Jews and Muslims and their reconciliation among themselves, and he wins at home. What happened is the delay in achieving the goals, and it has become a problem. Achieving the goals has not yet happened, and the time is running out because the American elections are getting close, and thus the Americans are taking action. They want to hold Israel, which has failed to achieve the goals, including Netanyahu. Netanyahu is the one who bears responsibility for the lack of electoral votes for Biden, and Biden holds him responsible.
Let us remain with the United States, as it's in a desperate situation. No one gives it any weight, not in the regime, not even in Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. One of the most important achievements of Commander Yahya Sinwar is that he succeeded in creating a rift between the Israeli regime and the United States. Professor Hadi Kubaisi, what do you think of the words of this Zionist analyst who describes leader Sinwar as a wonder who succeeded in creating a rift between the regime and the U.S., which seemed to be in a situation where no one gave it any weight, according to Af Aitiam, the former Zionist minister?
Of course, there is a little bit of exaggeration in his words or a provocation for the Americans who changed the way they deal with the Israelis. He even goes beyond the electoral issue and deals with it as an issue for the regime. I mean, if it was an issue related to the regime of Israel only, I believe that they would not have any problem. If Biden only takes into account the American strategic political considerations and its interests in the region, he will clearly go with them in the war. But as a result of the elections issue, they're demanding the U.S. go beyond the elections and treat them as a state. One of Netanyahu's main advisors is the one who incited him to carry out the ground operation and continue the war. And his words are clear. He portrays the Americans, as well as Abramovich, as people who are against Israel and are putting pressure on Israel and are silent about it, while the other parties are waging a war against Yemen. They're waging a war as well, and they have carried out strikes in Iraq and Syria and are arming the Israelis day and night. But they, the Israelis, are saying, "You are our enemies. You're fighting us in time. We must be friends." This is Jewish talk. Jewish grievance is their adopted method, exaggerating grievances in an illogical and unrealistic way.
I mean, Professor Kubaisi, Mohammed Dahlan's plan is clear as if it is an Israeli-American plan par excellence. What is the purpose of publishing such plans at this time in the Hebrew media? And basically, do you think they are correct?
It may be realistic, but it is a dreamy initiative. I mean, if the war goals raised by Netanyahu were achieved in the event of eliminating Hamas, there would be a possibility. But we should refer to the analyses, and not only the analyses. What does the annual threats report of the American Intelligence Council say? It says that in the coming years, the Israeli forces will try and struggle to dismantle Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And Hamas has proved that it will rebuild its strength and pose a threat to the Israelis outside the Gaza Strip during the next 5 or 6 years. We're completely far from this proposal, meaning the reality on the ground. I cite the American statement, or the official American analysis, which is an official document of the state, to say that they also acknowledge and admit to the media that they want to deal with this reality. But the reality on the ground indicates, and the events inside the Gaza Strip show, that this issue is very unrealistic.
Professor Hadi Kubaisi, what is your explanation for this insistence by the United Nations and the West on giving a role to the tribes in the issue of aid distribution without coordination with the Hamas movement?
They are establishing the political alternative. The land, society, and social infrastructure become separated from Hamas, and therefore Hamas has no role. Little by little, this land is demanding the authority of the technocrats, and we will reach it little by little, gradually. This is part of the course of the years that they are talking about, and in fact, Gantz talked about it at the beginning of the war or the first month. He said, "We need 10 years. This is a path that requires cultural, social, and security adjustment, and an adjustment in the balance of power at the level of the social structure."
The tribes rejected this proposal.
Here, his explanation for the tribes' refusal is that they are afraid that Hamas will not be eliminated, and thus Hamas will rebound and react to it. But the reality is that these tribes are Hamas, and there is no difference between them.
Director of the Al-Ittihad Research and Development Center, Hadi Kubaisi, thank you very much, and thank you for your good follow-up. Greetings until we meet again. God bless you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today
بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamu alaikum, and so welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about the right of neighbors.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. سجدة للجبال في ركعة في صلاة نرجو بها إلها نسعى بها لرضا يا الله يا الله عادل في قضائك يا الله يا الله واسع في عطائك
Be with us on the 14th of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 25th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. First, we'll listen to chapter An-Nisa, verse 36.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا
Worship Allah and associate nothing with Him. And to parents do good, and to relatives, orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, the neighbor farther away, the companion at your side, the traveler, and those whom your right hands possess. Indeed, Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The right of neighborhood is so important in Islam that Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'minin, peace be upon him, has stated about it thus, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny instructed about them so much that we thought he might enjoin that they would inherit from each other. Another tradition denotes that one day it happened that the Holy Prophet three times said, By Allah, he does not believe. A person asked him whom he meant, and the Prophet said, The person whose neighbor is not in security, from his molestation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Dua for the 14th day of the month of Ramadan.
اللهم لا تؤاخذني فيه بالعثرات وأقلني فيه من الخطايا والهفوات ولا تجعلني فيه قرضا للبلايا والآفات بعزتك يا عز المسلمين
O Allah, on this day do not condemn me for slips. Make me decrease mistakes and errors. Do not make me a target for afflictions and troubles by your honor, O the honor of the Muslims.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
الله
يا ربي يا
الله
The topic of this episode is the right of neighbor in Islam. Yes, it's the most sacred time of year for those who follow Islam, a time of renewal, refreshing and cleansing. During the 30-day celebration of Ramadan, women and men abstain from food and drink from sunup to sundown. They serve, sacrifice and give to others, believing that Allah will accept their offerings and forgive their sins. So how are you supposed to reach your Muslim neighbor during this time of religious devotion? God often uses times of spiritual seeking to soften hearts and reach those who genuinely want to know Him. You can be a part by loving and serving the people around you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about observing neighborly rites in the blessed month of Ramadan. That is, we want to smell the sweet fragrance of Ramadan in our city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse 36, Worship Allah and associate nothing with Him, and do good to parents, kinfolk, orphans, the needy, and the neighbor who is near, the neighbor who is a stranger, the companion by your side, the wayfarer, and those whom your right hands possess. Surely Allah does not love those who are arrogant and boastful. Neighborly rights have a special status in Islam. From this verse, we can conclude that a Muslim should have good relations with their neighbors. But what are the neighborly rights in the blessed month of Ramadan? If we look at the hadith of the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we realize that the condition of neighbors is highly regarded. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that a neighbor is not only the one who lives next to us, but up to 40 houses away is considered as neighbor. Ramadan is the month of friendship because servants strive to be able to sincerely love one another and remember each other. Ramadan is not limited to fasting. Now, eating food is only the surface, and in the depth of this blessed month, entering oneself, an inner transformation for relationships with others lies hidden. When one reflects on this, it becomes clear that one must have a sense of belonging in the community, and a sense of responsibility. This is not just about the neighbor next door. Rather, it is about the neighborhood we live in. The goal of friendship is to meet the need, spread joy and health in the neighborhood.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, be with IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Every day from IRIB English Radio.
There are some tips about neighbor, and here we have some. Build a relationship. Get to know your neighbors. Be kind to them and take a genuine interest in their lives. Look for opportunities to strike up conversations and build up common interests. As your relationship depends, you can ask them more about their faith and culture. People from different regions celebrate Ramadan in slightly different ways. Ask your neighbor about their particular rituals and celebrations and demonstrate that you are sincerely interested in what is meaningful to them.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد
تدعو إلى الدين القويم إلى الرشاد
يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الراشدين يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الذاكرين
ومضات.
The other thing about neighbor is look for ways to serve. Ramadan is a busy and sometimes a stressful time. Participants go without food and drink, including water, during the day. They spend time cleaning their homes, cooking large meals, and serving in their communities. Now is a great time for you to help meet tangible needs. Offer to drop off a baked good or meal for a neighbor to enjoy at sundown. Ask if you can help with yard work. Pick up a practical item for them at the store. If you have children or grandchildren at home, encourage them to help you serve. Meeting needs together is a great way to show the love to others and to teach your children how to share their faith.
Ramadan is an excellent opportunity to share friendship and in particular to spread spiritual values, generosity and kindness in the hearts of all servants, especially neighbors. It doesn't matter who your neighbor is, black or white, Muslim or Christian, short or tall. All should be viewed through the lens of being a neighbor, and neighborly rights should be fulfilled in the blessed month of Ramadan. No Muslim is exempt from neighborly rights. Dear brothers and sisters, we live in the modern communities, and even if we live in a high-rise building in the middle of, for example, that city, the neighborhood is still a place to meet each other. Although problems will never disappear completely, the philosophy of Ramadan is not to turn inward, but to come out and be in the community. Neighborly rights in the blessed month of Ramadan have now been transformed thanks to the media. And the blessed month of Ramadan is the duty of all Muslims as part of the community to have a sense of responsibility towards our neighbors. We must be able to integrate into society and be accountable to it. It is our responsibility to show everyone that a true Muslim is one who holds a human hand, not one who looks into their eyes and lies. Thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters, for staying tuned. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was all for this episode of today's special. Thank you, and may Allah bless you all.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
the headlines, Israel's genocidal war on Gaza enters its 171st day. Iran strongly condemns Israel's inhumane crimes against medical staff and patients at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital, calling for an international probe into the Israeli crimes. And a new report shows that 99% of Israel's arms